Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus.
Energy, please. Can we praise the Lord in this place? That's a little more like it. Okay. Well, five can sound more energetic than woo. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God. Hold on. Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm reading in the right spot here. I know. Just give me a second. All right, if we all would, let's all stand together. We're going to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 9 and verse number 23 to start things off today. The book of Luke, chapter number 9, verse number 23. If you would stand with me today as we prepare to read. If you do not have a Bible on you, it is going to be up on the screen momentarily, as soon as, all right, there it is. Luke chapter 9, verse number 23 simply says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done in this place. We thank you for this service we've had today. We thank you for what you've done so far and what you yet still plan to do, Lord. Pray that you would help us to hear your word, that you would help us to do your word, and that our lives would be transformed, and that we would endeavor to be more like you to reach this world, to go and make disciples. In Jesus' name we love you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated for now. For now. All right. So, we've been talking the past few weeks about making disciples, committing. Jesus said we are to follow him, to take up our cross and follow him, is what we just read. And so often we hear people say, we've probably heard someone say before, "Oh, I've got this going on. I'm sick. I'm in a financial struggle. I'm in this. I'm in that. And I suppose it's simply my cross to bear." You may have heard someone say that before. Hopefully I can challenge our mentality on what that verse actually means today. Too often, we have been mellow, chill, and not all that ambitious entirely, and telling everyone just what the responsibility really is in making disciples in the church. Now, here lately, of course, it's been pushed pretty hard, and just moments ago, you heard just straight out absolute honesty from our pastor. Here's where we are. Here's what this is going to take. There's more to it than just sitting around and just being here. There's so much more than just being here. We need to be here, absolutely, but there's more to it than just being here. Brother Gleason says in this book that there is a reason that we are sometimes reluctant to tell the fullness of what is really required. We think, oh, this isn't for everybody. Not everyone has to be all in just the same. Maybe it's just the preacher's job, just the song leader's job, just a Sunday school teacher's job. Maybe it's just the job of a bus driver. And we think only people of certain personality types, only the extroverts, Only those with the skills of exceptional public speaking, only those who are just so great at having conversations with people, only the emotionally deep, only the high energy, only this and only that. Only people with certain gifts. Certain people are just more good at this than others, so not everyone's got to do it. But this leads us to not getting much done. It leads us to the place where we often have found ourselves, where the numbers drop low, where commitment begins to wane, and where people just aren't committed like they used to. The ever-continuing refrain that you hear all over the place, oh, it just nobody wants to work anymore. Why is it that we are that we are? Speculation leads to results. We are having struggles with the audio today. Expecting little action. Hey, just, you know what? All right. I think that's a little bit better. It's not cutting out, and it's long enough that I can walk around the stage at least. So, expecting little action results in little results. Whatever. I said that enough times. We need more than just tithe-paying church attenders. Amen. Tithe-paying church attenders are wonderful. But we need more than that. It's got to be more than that. We all have a responsibility to, can anyone guess what I'm about to say? Thank you, Bobby. Make disciples. We all have responsibility to make disciples. Jesus never tiptoed around what he expected of his followers. In fact, the line that Brother Gleason writes in the book is this: I think the disciples may have very well wished that he had attended a Dale Carnegie course, but he had not. He was not out to make friends and influence people. He was out to influence people, but he was not out to make friends. You will be hated of all men for my sake. Yeah. He put it this way. He just was straight out honest. The word used in the title of this chapter is straight talk. Not the phone brand. Not the phone brand, but straight, honestly, here's what I expect of you. I'm not looking for numbers. I'm not looking for this. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for someone who's going to do the job. Can you imagine what it would be like if people acted this way in job interviews? Okay, so I'm just going to tell you, I expect a lot of hard work. I expect a lot of detail. I expect you to do this no matter what. Be here every day when we call you. I expect you to show up every single day, work hard, do this. It may not attract all the applicants in the world, but it would attract the applicants who think, yeah, I can do that. For this job, I expect you to always be smiling. I expect you to shake hands. I expect you to smile at people. I expect you to have a friendly good morning every single day. Wouldn't attract everybody, but it would attract certain people. I expect you. Exactly. It wouldn't attract some people, but it would attract others. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus did not tiptoe around the issue. He gave out free stuff in John chapter 6. He called for a little lad. The little lad gave him his lunch and of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He split it out, and everyone there was able to eat their fill, and they had leftovers in the end. 5,000 people were fed. They showed up ready for more. They showed up ready for more. But that's where the free stuff stopped. Where's the food? I heard it downstairs. I heard someone talking about it downstairs when they got here today. They said, hey, I forgot. This is the place with all the food. This place where they give us free food at the beginning of service. But Bethany responded and said, well, there wasn't no food here on Thursday. There's no free stuff here today. We're not giving out free clothes and board games and books every Saturday. We don't do that every week. Jesus, we only read of one occasion in four different Gospels. We read of Jesus giving out free stuff sometimes, but they showed up the next time. There was no loaves. There were no fishes. Instead, Jesus greeted them with this. In John chapter 6, verse number 53, we read this. And Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. In context, they thought it was creepy. We read the next verse in John 6:59. This is a hard saying. Who can hear this? This is a hard saying. Who can hear this? Lord, what on earth are you talking about? And from that day, many ceased to follow him. And from that day on, many ceased to follow him. This wasn't sweet talk. This was a call to commitment. So, let's have some straight talk today. It's time to take up your cross. It's time to take up your cross. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. This was the offer. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. And people were thinking exactly what Bobby did. That sounds creepy. That sounds weird. And the only way to figure out what Jesus actually meant by that was to show up for 3 more years. Was to stick around for 3 more years until finally you show up at Passover and Jesus says, take, eat. This is my breath. This is my flesh. Take, eat. Take and drink. This is my blood. I will be poured out. This is the New Testament. This is my new covenant that I'm giving you. The only way to figure out what on earth Jesus meant that day was to make it to the very last week of Jesus' ministry before the cross was carried. To the very last day before the cross would be carried. No one was going to understand. This was a call. Hey, if you'll stick around, I might just explain myself. But if you don't stick around. Yeah, this one was going out. If you don't stick around, you're never going to figure out what I mean. Yeah. Preaching commitment doesn't lose people who are willing to commit. Preaching commitment does not lose committed people. Preaching giving doesn't lose givers. Preaching prayer doesn't lose people that pray. Preaching the importance of the Word of God doesn't lose people who are willing to study. Preaching church attendance will not lose people that are willing to come to church. Preaching discipleship will not lose disciple making. The crowd may go away, but the church will remain. You see, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for someone. Let me put it in the context of the job interview illustration I just gave moments ago. The illustration of the job interview. Okay, guys, here's what we're looking for. We are looking for people who will repent. We are looking for people who will be baptized in Jesus' name. We are looking for people who are willing to speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost fills them up. We are looking for a life of separation. We are looking for a church that... We are looking for you to have a schedule centered around coming to church when we have church. You don't schedule vacation during such and such time. You don't miss for anything. We want people who will give this their all. We are looking for people who will give their time, people who will give of their talents, who will show up, who will be willing to be involved in everything that we do. And we are looking for people that will give, and we are looking for people who will go out into all the world and make disciples of all people. You see, the church may not grow as quickly with these words being preached all the time. It may not look the same as that guy who's down the road saying, if you'll just do this, God will give you the most wonderfully perfect life. It's not going to grow as much as all you have to do is pray this one little prayer one little time. And that's all you'll ever have to do. And if you go off and live a life of absolute sin and debauchery as long as you prayed that little prayer 10 years ago, you'll be just fine. You're not going to grow as quickly as that guy's church preaching this way. But you will grow with people who are exactly what you're preaching. You will get people who are doing that. So it's time we're going to start talking that way. We're going to talk that way. We're going to tell you exactly what the word says. We're going to tell you exactly what we mean. We're going to be perfectly honest. We got to worship. We got to praise. And we have to reach this world. We will have, you know what, we may not have the biggest church that grows at the most accelerated pace, but we will have an apostolic church. We expect to make disciples. Now, however, all of these things have this little bitty thing. If you showed up to my uncle talked about it at his anniversary service in his keynote message. There is a price tag. But we can't be shopping based on the price tag. We can't be shopping based on the price tag. We have to be shopping for the best. We have to be looking for the best. We have to be looking for the truth, the honest, the thing that will not fail. And this word will not fail. There is a price to be paid to be a disciple. There's a price to be paid to make a disciple. We have to come out and be separate. We have to do that thing that I talked about on Friday night. We have to let go of this world and go forward into all that God has for us. But even more, we have to initiate interaction with people in this world. We have to invest our literal lives into reaching this world, into disciples. It's a whole lot easier to do this without investing in other people. A whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier to simply pray every day. It's a whole lot easier to simply make it to church each and every week.
Lord Jesus, help us.
We didn't have microphones. All right, it's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier to do this by yourself. It's a whole lot easier to only worry about me. It's so easy to only worry about me and not worry about anybody else. It's so easy to come to church, listen to the message, bow our heads and pray, worship when we feel like worshiping, and do our little thing, sing our little song, and do our little dance. But if we're going to actually do this the way that Jesus intended, we have to go with somebody else. We have to invest ourselves in somebody else. We have to make sure that it's being passed on to someone else. We have to make sure that when we go to pray, we say, hey, come pray with me. When we go to study our word, we talk to people about what we've been studying. When we go to church, we invite someone to come with us. When we are living our daily Christian lives, we are willing and ready to explain ourselves at any moment and sometimes even offer it. Come out and be separate, but make sure that there's an invitation to be separate with you. Jesus defined the cost in Matthew chapter 8. He said, he had a scribe come to him and said to him, Master, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another one said, Lord, let me go bury my father first. And Jesus said, follow me, let the dead bury their dead. That sounds callous. Yeah. That sounds a bit rough. But Jesus did it. Jesus went around as a homeless man, relying on the kindness of others. He had 12 guys that went with him wherever he went. They paid the price. They left their jobs. They left the nets behind. They followed him wherever he went. They literally dropped the family business to go join up to this homeless man who claimed to be God. And we can't just be church members. We can't just be the typical definition of church members. We have to be Christ followers, a life patterned after the way Jesus lived his life. He lived a life where he said, you know what? My life doesn't mean anything. My idea, my plan, my agenda means nothing. Whatever I intended for my career to look like, whatever I intended for my financial portfolio to be, whatever I intended my friend group to look like, it's up to Jesus what it looks like. It's up to Jesus what job I do. It's up to Jesus how I look in public. It's up to Jesus how I spend my schedule. It's up to Jesus who I become friends with. It's up to Jesus how I will spend my time. It's up to Jesus how I will spend my money. It's up to Jesus how I'll dress. It's up to Jesus how I'm going to do stuff. And you know what? A lot of people that are Christians focus on Jesus had this attitude about him. Jesus was God. Jesus had power. Jesus had authority. Jesus had a presence, and Jesus was passionate. And we're going to be Christ followers in the sense that we will have the right attitude. We'll have apostolic power. We'll have Holy Ghost fillings. We'll have worship services that are lively and exciting. We'll have that energy. We'll have all that. We'll be passionate. But they miss the entire point of the mission of Jesus. You see, it's so easy to just keep coming to church. And I say this to this crowd because I believe it is easy for you. Yeah. The people in this room, it's very hard for me to think of the last time that you actually were missing church. So you are doing what I said. Yeah, it's great. I believe it's easy for you to come to church because you come to church. You come to church. That's awesome. That's great. But it reminds me of that verse that says, you believe in one God, you're doing well. So does the devil. And he trembles in respect. He comes to church every Sunday. He's always here. He's always looking for who he can trip up. The devil comes to church too. You know, I've actually got Bible on the devil comes to church. Jesus is preaching one day, and a man stands up and speaks against him, and Jesus cast out a devil out of that man. The devil comes to church. But you're missing the mission if all you do is come to church. You're missing the mission if all you do is give in the offering. You're missing the mission. Jesus made disciples. Jesus was reaching the world. Jesus was doing so much. Jesus came to church. Jesus prayed every day. Jesus did all those things. But more than any of that, Jesus was continuously investing himself in others. Brother Gleason tells a story in this book. He says, a man walked up to a bodybuilder and says, what do you use all those muscles for? He said, started flexing. No, yeah, I see that. What do you use them for? A few more flexes, showing off a few more poses. Okay, but what's the point? What's the point in your Holy Ghost power? What's the point of being filled with the Holy Ghost? What's the point of your church attendance? What do you do with this Christian thing? A lot of churches, it's popular. You'll see that the Catholic Church has founded many hospitals. They give to the poor. We hear about different services, feeding the hungry, the poor, giving water to the thirsty, and food and clothes, and that's wonderful. That's good. We should do that. Jesus did say to take care of the poor, the needy, the hungry, and obviously you know that we are willing to feed the hungry, to clothe the needy. We're willing to do that. We just had this huge event where we literally invited everyone to come out and gave everything away for free. We do that. We give out our food baskets at Christmas time. The reason we do hot, warm, actual substance food instead of giving people brownies and instead of giving people little Debbie cakes and cookies like a lot of churches do for snack time is because we realized that so many of the people that were coming in had trouble getting food most of the time. That's the reason we are willing to spend so much on the food budget around here is because we know people need it. However, the point is not to feed the hungry. The point is not to feed the hungry. The point's not to give water to the thirsty. The point is not the clothes. The entire point, Jesus came to seek and to save lost souls. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Discipleship takes time. It takes money. It takes your emotional toll on you. It takes so much energy. Many of my early memories, and even to this day, some things I still see of when this church was first started, was crying, was tearful moments, was long phone conversations. It was, man, this so-and-so is texting me, and I have no idea what to even say to them. There's so many questions. There's so much of this. There's so much time, so much money, so much emotion. I spent an entire summer with a good chunk of my wallet being what was used. My gas money was what was being used on weekly Bible studies for people. It takes time. It takes money. It takes emotion. It takes sleepless nights. It takes being tired when you go to work in the morning. It takes all of this, but what's the cost of not doing it? The cost of not doing it is even higher. The cost is that you are missing the mission of Jesus and that people are going to die and go to hell. People will not grow. People will become nothing more than they are, and they will miss the entire purpose of God for their lives, including you, if you don't do it. What a shame it would be. We heard it said, there is something even better than making it to heaven. It's what Brother Carpenter preached in that little clip of the message that Daddy played the other night. There is something even better than making it to heaven, and that is someone walking up behind you and saying, we made it. It was worth it. Every sacrifice was worth it. Everything was worth it. Jesus said to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. deny. Deny yourself. It means give up on your right to be selfish. Deny means resist yourself. Refuse yourself. Reject yourself. Deny yourself the right to be selfish. We hear the prayer in thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But Brother Gleason puts it this way. He says, before you ever pray thy kingdom come, you need to pray my kingdom go. Yeah. My idea of how life is supposed to work is out the window. Anyone carrying a cross back in the first century Roman Empire could be well assured that this day is not going to end well for me. Yeah. Within a few hours, possibly even within the hour, they would be dead. Their bodies would be hanging openly in shame for everyone. They would be heaving, trying to breathe. They would be bleeding out. They would be dead by nightfall. The day ends in their death. And Jesus said the words, take up your cross. Before anyone knew that when Jesus took up his cross, within 3 days he would live again. They had no promise of a resurrection attached to carrying a cross when Jesus said, take up your cross. Jesus didn't tell them, take up your cross so you can raise in a glorious resurrection. He said, take up your cross and you're going to die. You're going to die. Consider yourself dead to this world. Your hopes are dead. Your dreams are dead. Your ambition is dead. Christ's desires are what matters instead. My dreams mean nothing. It's all his dreams. It's all for his glory. It's all for his purpose. It's all for his plan. Our dreams may bring worldly success, but living in his purpose, that is what brings you what he says. I come to give you life and life more abundantly. I come to give you life and life more abundantly. There is nothing else for me in this world but to say Jesus is the reason for everything that I do. We're coming up. Before you know it, you're going to be seeing those posts out that say Jesus is the reason for the season. That's not the case, y'all. The case is Jesus is the reason. The period goes at the end of that sentence. His purpose is what will bring you abundant life. Why do you think Jesus spoke differently to uncommitted people than he did to his disciples? You see, when the uncommitted people come, he told them, the dead, bury the dead. When the uncommitted people come, he said, you need to make sure that it looks like you hate your brother in comparison to how much you love me. If your brother comes asking you for a favor and it's in conflict with me, you're turning your brother down. Jesus spoke differently to the uncommitted people. But when the disciples come to Jesus and said, hey, my dad, my mom, my mother-in-law is sick, Jesus went to the house and said, okay, I'm going to go heal him. When he heard that one of his disciples, their brother died, he went and said, okay, let's take care of this. Why did Jesus talk differently to the committed than he did to the uncommitted? Any thoughts? Why is it that Jesus treated people differently? What'd you say? Processing, okay. Any thoughts? Why is it that Jesus talked differently to committed people than to uncommitted people? Because they understood him? Because, let me tell you the real. I heard something coming. Yeah. Here's another thought for you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Here's an important thing here. Patient, willing to stick with Him. Yeah, we get the picture. I mentioned that Lazarus, when Jesus went to the brother of His disciple, and who was also a disciple, and went to him, he was willing to raise him from the dead. Meanwhile, he said, let the dead bury their dead. The picture of carrying a cross speaks to us because we realize this. The Lord will give you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in the Lord. That means the Lord's desires and your desires are the same desires. Of course He'll give you the desires of your heart. He desires it too. When His desires and your desires line up, life will be abundant. The picture of carrying a cross speaks to the commitment of making a disciple because of this. We have so much of this life that we're tied up, we're worried. I heard this the other day when I was looking up something about the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. It says that the problem was not that they didn't bring enough oil and therefore that the light was going out on them, so they had to rush to the city to buy oil. The problem was that they weren't there when the Lord come. When we're worried about anything besides being there when God shows up, when the time comes, we'll show up, it'll be too late, and He'll say, depart from Me. I don't know you. You weren't there when I showed up, so I don't know you. I don't know you. I didn't get the chance to meet you when I showed up. What's to say that just the one Sunday where you decide it's more important for me to have the money to put gas in my car than it is for me to show up to church. It's more important for me to have the money to get gas in my car, so I got to make sure I can go to work on Sunday over top of I got to be in church on Sunday. It's more important for me to get my work done than for me to be willing to have a conversation with somebody that could lead them to God. His purpose brings life. Our dreams bring success, but His purpose brings life. Praise the Lord, everyone. That's the gist of this. It's not happy. It's not wonderful. It doesn't sound good on the surface. But so much, what I've been hearing so much lately and talking, we had several conversations about it yesterday, and it was just, people need to realize, just because life may not look great right now, eternity is the point. The whole point is eternity. We need to be willing to take up our cross daily and follow Him. Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's all stand together. Jesus, we love You. I pray that You would help us to commit to You, that we would